for all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Jeremy tweets into the program, what's the minute over under that Hans and Scotty talk food in their first segment? I'm setting it at 20 and a half. You're going to go the under because it's going to start right now.
I love when Scotty makes a convenience store stop and gets snacks. And Scotty got some snacks and brought me some powder-covered donuts.
I know you like, I couldn't find the raspberry-filled ones. You know those
oh,
ones.
That's the big box.
Yeah, and I couldn't find those, and I saw those. I'm like, yeah, my guy likes a little powdered sugar, whatever those things are.
Okay, I'm going to just give you, so one of my favorite things to do, I get this pack of it's the donuts, the Hostess donuts, it's the powdered-covered donuts, and what I like to do is I get one of those liters of chocolate milk, and I pop a whole donut in, and chug as much of the chocolate milk into my mouth as I can, so I got a full mouthful of the donut and the chocolate milk, and then I just let it kind of mush all together, and then swallow it.
It's got a nice little slurry in there.
Do you ever do this?
Special types of donuts? They're called donuts?
Yeah, donuts.
You know what
donuts.
They are. Yeah, okay. Those things.
Yeah, I just thought it was a fancy name for a donut. I was like, what?
No, they're just a small donut.
I guess I didn't realize that's what they
were. By the way, like this is called one. It's not quite key lime pie to me, but powdered donuts are like the worst donuts for me.
What about the raspberry filled ones?
Raspberry's okay, but it just like you look down and you're just covered in that
they're messy
white powdery substance.
But they're worth the mess.
I don't know.
They're worth the mess. So the chocolate milk chug is only really good with the powdered ones, not with the chocolate covered.
You don't
ones.
Go chocolate on chocolate.
No, because the powdered donut, when you eat it and then you put in that chocolate milk, the powder kind of flows into the chocolate milk, and the wax from that chocolate donut, it just rejects the chocolate.
Oh, it's like bouncing
the chocolate
off.
Milk, yeah.
So then you go. We want no part
of
you.
I'm being honest. A cop could pull me over 5 days out of a 7 day week and find that white powdery substance on my lap, shirt, and in my car.
In regards to the powdered donuts.
Yes, I'm got you.
And then you get those Ruffles. Those are my favorite Ruffles. I
saw
love
these
them.
Jalapeno ranch. Lloyd, have you tried these?
No, but they look delightful.
Oh, they're every bit as good as you think they would be.
Yeah. Yeah, those are in the sour cream and cheddar are incredible snacks. So good job, Scotty.
Well, I'm here for you.
Good pick.
Did you have a good weekend? Everything good?
I had an amazing weekend, man. I really did. Very, very relaxing, kicked back, did a little yard work, watched a ton of sports. Maybe an overconsumption of sports. And whether it's watching it on TV or watching all my kids participate in their sports, it was just a busy weekend, man, of sports, a lot of them.
You had golf, you had college football, you had NFL, which was a pretty good day in the NFL. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this a little bit later on about is the reason we're seeing a lot of injuries due to the fact there was no OTAs and we kind of rushed this thing back. Could that be a problem or not? And I want you to put the Doc Talk hat on and see if this is just a weird year for injuries, or could it be that there wasn't proper lead up to this season? So we'll touch on that.
It's a good thing to touch on, and I think it's a great question because things are just so different
right now. I thought my Broncos had a bad day yesterday. You know, you had Cortland Sutton went out with a knee. You had Drew Locke went out with a shoulder. Like, I mean, it was pretty bad.
It was a bad day for them.
But it doesn't hold a candle to what the 49ers are going through.
And it was a rough day for Seattle. Yeah, and you're right. No. The 49ers definitely have suffered the most. But it's bizarre. I'm trying to remember which defensive end I remember. I was just watching him rush. It was I think it was a Seattle defensive end. A non-contact was just locked up with the offensive tackle, and his outside knee buckled, and he went down. I don't know if he ever came back in, but Man, the NFL's carrying it right now, Scotty.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time with college football just because, especially on a weekend where BYU doesn't play, there's just not anything there locally. Or, like, I don't know, these teams just don't interest me that much. And so I'm having a hard time really getting fired up about what we're seeing on college. Now, when the you know, when the SEC gets underway coming up on the, I think probably is it this weekend, I think they kick off, then it'll be a little bit more interesting. But I'm just having a hard time right now with college football.
It's not drawing my interest. And I did watch Navy because I wanted to see what they were able to do and how good or how bad it might reflect that big BYU win, 55. What was it, 55-3?
Yeah, something like that.
I wanted to see how they did. It was the tell of two halves. We'll talk
down
about that.
24-0 at halftime.
Yeah. Biggest comeback in Navy history. I can't remember if I've got that in What You May Have Missed or Good, Bad, and Ugly or where that's at. But we'll mention that game and kind of go on the details of what Navy looked like and how it maybe plays into where BYU is currently ranked and where they should be ranked and what they're going to look like against Troy. By the way, things are full steam ahead with Troy right now.
Yeah.
BYU's full steam ahead, having 6,000 fans in LaBelle Edwards Stadium. I did get in some insight for the ticket situation, the 6,000 tickets, Scotty, and how they were distributed. So I don't know if we get some time, or do you want me to talk about that really quick? Are people interested in
that?
No,
I think people are interested in that.
So 6,000 tickets distributed to the BYU-Troy game. And I talked to a really good friend of mine who's been a season ticket holder for 20 years. And he got an email about, I guess it'd be a month, maybe 2 months ago, that asked him what he wanted to do with the purchase of his season tickets. Would you like a refund or would you like the price to go to next year's season tickets? He said, I'd like the price to go to next year's season tickets. And then a couple of weeks ago, based off of that response, an email came with an opportunity to purchase tickets. And it kind of went through the stages, the Cougar Club, the, you know, and on down for how many years you've had your tickets, and that the Cougar Club members, I think, got an opportunity to purchase 12 tickets, and certain members got 8 and then 6 and then 4 and down to 2.
Okay.
And they said, you know, be patient. The ticket selection process is going. But essentially, Scotty, those 6,000 tickets, I think, went purely, almost purely to season ticket holders. And they did it in a kind of a divided order.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, kind of what we thought would happen with season tickets.
And frankly, and I know you wanted to open up a certain amount for just a random lottery.
I would have liked to seen 1,000 tickets opened up for a lottery.
Yeah, and I think you should have done that to a certain extent, so you can have your average Joe having a way to get in there. But for the most part, I mean, you got to – those season ticket holders are usually also your donors, and you got to find a way to keep them happy during these times.
Yeah, and, you know, my buddy who's been a season ticket holder for 20 years, it's very important to him. In 20 years, he's invested in it and bought season tickets. The tickets were $60 a piece, Scotty. BYU-Troy.
A lot of money to see.
$60 a piece. And from what he told me, it was just right in there, maybe slightly above what they pay per ticket for their season tickets.
All right.
So, you know, kind of right in the pocket.
So he's ready to go, and he's fine. And
oh,
let's,
yeah.
Let's
he's
do it.
He's pumped. I've talked to a couple different BYU personnel, and they've instituted everything they possibly can do to try to get this team back and rolling.
Do you get any indication that they're going to try to ramp those numbers up throughout the year? Because I've heard that they hope to get that thing up to 5 digits here pretty soon in terms of seat people in that stadium.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard they want to start boosting numbers.
Yeah.
But obviously what's happening in Utah County is going to go directly against what they're trying to do.
Again, it seems like every time we try to get something going, we have a spike here in the state of Utah. So
yeah. And I know at this point it feels like Utah County is just kind of like, whatever, just give us our tickets and let's go. It seems like Utah County just wants to go. Yeah, it could. But that's how they distributed them. I thought it was good, but I would like to see 1,000 tickets on lottery where you just, you know, you enter your name.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Kind of like an elk hunt or something. You know, we talk about different draws for the state. It just bums me out. I think there's a lot of people that get blocked that can't afford those season tickets.
I know.
But I also see why they would do it, all the season tickets, if they possibly
could. Yeah, I see both sides on that, too. I mean, in a time where you need every little dollar you can get, you got to try to love up those donors every bit you can.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Pretty much the same.
You guys still chopping down trees?
No, we got all our trees out. I do have a you'll like this. I had a there was a guy who came by who's a friend of one of our neighbors. Came by, and that big willow tree, it needs trimmed up and loved up and kind of formed up. And this thing's massive. You know, this isn't a pole saw standing on a ladder isn't going to get it done.
It's like a gigantic weeping
And when
willow.
You say chopping trees, you're not just these are damaged trees that you're damaged chopping. Trees, you're not just cutting down trees just to cut down trees, are you?
No. So anyway, this guy came by and he said, I'm like, all right, well, how much would it take for you to get this thing all cleaned up and stuff? $2,500.
To do what?
To essentially prune this willow tree.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, all right.
No, it's a big willow tree.
It's a big willow tree, but I'm like, no. Sorry, my man. Well, time for you to move on and go somewhere else.
You give me a cherry picker truck and a nice saw.
Yeah,
a nice chainsaw. I could have that clean in 3 to 4 hours.
I'm with you on that. I just don't want to be the one getting the truck down in there. But overall, he said that number. I'm like, yeah, okay. You can go.
Did you slam the door in his face?
No, I mean, I said, well, I appreciate that. That is way more than I'm willing to spend on that.
I'm sorry, did you say $25? No, $2,500.
And he was like, well, you know, I'm licensed and I'm get up and I climb up in that tree and I got all the harnesses and stuff like that. So all he's
Sounds
saying is
like the jerky boys.
Yeah, I know. He's like he's preparing me for it to be a bad number. I'm like, I wonder if he's gonna try to break four digits on me. And then he drops 25. I'm like, all right,
That's flew where by you say four. I'll give you $500 and I'll give you some good tickets to an Aggies game.
Yeah. You wanna go watch some
what do you think?
Utah State football?
And,
come on.
And I've got Sprite and soda flavorings.
Yes.
Break out those soda flavorings that are party
for nobody, that'll seal
nobody
the deal
can
right
resist
there.
That.
Man, I loved your soda flavorings. They were so good. I drank way too much soda at the party.
Oh, man. So, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, all I'm doing is trying to prune it. It's not like I've already taken care of and cut up all the stuff that fell down. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna wait till spring. I don't need you right now.
Yeah, that's something you could do. If you got a cherry picker, have mama back it up. Run the boom. You know, you could get up there with your chainsaw. You could do it.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot to get to on the program. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone. It is time for your starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Tackled inbounds. Clock ticks down. And that should be the final play of the ball game. There you go. Fire the cannons proudly. The Buccaneers have beaten the Carolina Panthers. 31-17.
Second down and 5. Russ takes a shotgun snap. Going to lay it up over the top. Chris Carson in the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks.
I don't know, Scotty. It's hard to beat the NFL right now. The excitement, the quarterbacks, the big names. You know, you are dealing with injuries, but watching Cam Newton try to take over the position of Tom Brady has been fascinating. Watching Russell Wilson just continue to be one of the most dominant quarterbacks in the game. Every time I forget how great he is, and then I see him in a primetime slot, and I really sit down and watch him, I'm like, this guy is undeniably one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he right now, and I know we're only, 2 weeks into the season, right now he's your he's going to be an MVP candidate.
Yes, and deserves to be.
Yes.
He was fantastic. I think he had 5 touchdowns yesterday and was just lights out. And all of his spot throws are incredible. His pocket navigation might be some of the best pocket navigation I've seen. And again, put on display, Scotty, his ability to absorb a shot without absorbing hit is unmatched.
I don't think – I always thought up until Russell Wilson came into the league, there was not a better third down quarterback, a guy who could extend a play and move around and make a play in the pocket or outside the pocket better than Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger on third down was a nightmare. And now Russell Wilson is your keep a play alive, extend a play, make a ridiculous pass to save third down.
That's why I hated their third and one call. Their 4-minute drill.
Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Really weird.
You know, you put that ball in Wilson's hand, and for those of you that didn't get to see the Seahawks and the Patriots last night, basically Seattle had the lead, and all they had to do was burn the clock out. They needed to get themselves a first down. It was third and one. And when you've got Russell Wilson behind center at third and one, you've got an unlimited base of plays. You know, quick drops, draws. You know, there are – I don't know. There's 30 ways you could get that first down with Russell Wilson. And instead, they tried to just drop the pocket. Now, the snap was bad. He did have to reach far right for the snap, but then he just tried to touch pass it over the top. I thought that was the most ridiculous third and one call.
Yeah.
And almost as ridiculous as the fourth and whatever two call for Cam Newton.
I was going to ask you about that, too.
Well, so – did you see, I think it was three offensive possessions before that. Did you see that fake look and Cam Newton had just got the snap and dropped it over the top to, I can't remember if it was JJ or who it was, dropped the pass over the top, just kind of a quick pop pass? Well, then they went to that Cam Newton streak left three consecutive times, including a two-point conversion and another goal line stand. And he went 1-2 on it, being stopped there in the final seconds. 2 seconds left on the clock. And when they asked Bill Belichick about it, he's like, well, we ran our best play. What more is there to say? What more is there to think about? That can't be your best play.
That's not your best play.
You'd been stopped up a couple of times. You've ran it off that edge a couple of times. You watched Seattle stem, and then they were stunting right into that play.
I mean, like, Seattle knew. They knew exactly where that thing was going.
They did. And so, you know, I think Pete Carroll's thought process on that, Scotty, was screw it. We're going to go all in here because 80% chance this is where it's coming. Now, everything else becomes open when that happens because they had, I think, 8 of their 11 were basically piercing off that left side of the offense, right side off the defense. And you had some underneath piercing, and you had some knives off the backside trying to knife to cut the backside or that backside cut off, like what happened in that 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
When the outside closed for Cam Newton, he tried to cut back inside. They're knifing and cutting back in and hitting that lane, and everything was closed out. But a pop pass, a jump pass, any type of tight end release off of a bump, it would have probably worked. I guess you could second guess all day long, but putting the football in Cam Newton's hands and saying go get it isn't a terrible option, just probably not the best option right there.
I mean, Ben Moa, that thing, jump past that sucker. I don't know, do something, but everybody knew where that thing was going. And I know some people reference this on Twitter that sent stuff to you. It kind of felt like the Taysom Hill play against the University of Utah. Like, everybody knew where it was going, and Utah ended up getting the stop.
Everybody knew where it was going, and everybody knew who was taking it there.
Yeah.
And they stopped it up. But, man, it was a great game. And then you got Tom Brady, who was able to take down the Panthers. His numbers weren't flashy. They weren't incredible. 23 of 35 for 217 yards. He had a touchdown through an interception. But it was – you know, it was awesome. I was glad to see the Buccaneers kind of get back on track. I don't know, Scotty. I'm not sold on their ability to contend yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm not sold on their ability to contend yet. They look a little bit slow. They look veteran, but they look a little bit slow on both sides of the ball. Like, you watch trying to think of all-around speed. The Ravens. The Ravens have all-around speed.
Yeah. I was watching the Steelers yesterday. There is a lot of good youth movement on that defense,
yeah.
And they fly around.
They do. They absolutely fly around. That's not – when you close your eyes and you think of the Bucs, it's just not where they're at.
No.
But they do have solid veterans. They do have great placement, good timing. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this thing together and come out of their conference. I don't think that's happening right now. But right now I'm doubting my pick because I did pick the Buccaneers, I believe, preseason. And I'm continuing to doubt it.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network as we are kicking off the program. We'll talk more NFL. By the way, the injury news just continues to add up.
Oh, boy.
Saquon Barkley did, in fact, tear his ACL. That was confirmed, so he's out for the year. Christian McCaffrey is out up to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Oh, I thought it was a hamstring.
Man, they're saying high ankle.
Because initially they had pulled him for the hamstring, but high ankle sprain is a – that's going to be a
– yeah,
that's going to be a bugger.
Those are hard to come back from just because – does it feel right and doesn't feel right? Maybe they do that thing where, what was that thing where they put the screw in your tendon?
Oh, yeah. Was it the slingshot?
Yeah, something like that. They did it to Tua, right?
Yeah. I think it was the slingshot surgery, or I can't remember. There's only, you know, there's only, in all my years of playing, there were only two injuries that took me out of the game. One of them was a high sprain.
No kidding.
The other was a broken hand.
Wow.
That's it. High sprains are painful, and they will stop you in your tracks. Probably 3 to 6 weeks. Have they mentioned the time for McCaffrey?
They said 4 to 6.
Okay.
A lot of fantasy football people out there a little cranky today.
Any updates on Drew Lock?
Not yet, but I'm assuming probably the same for him, 2 to 4. On that.
His backup didn't look bad.
Yeah, he didn't actually.
It looked pretty good.
Except when you take a sack on 4th and 2.
Well, sure. Outside of that, though.
So does he need to call that blitzer? Offensive, like what happened there?
He needs to recognize
that. That's on the quarterback,
and he's
right?
Got to hit the scrape.
Yeah.
Did you see the scrape route?
Oh, yeah.
If he touches, passes the scrape route, it's easy first down.
Yeah.
Probably goes for 8 yards.
All right. Hands and Scotty. Katie's hanging out with us on a beautiful Monday. Hey, Katie.
What's
how are
up?
You?
Good. How are you guys? It's good to see you.
Yeah, we're glad to have you in studio.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's a party, man. We're about ready to save some people some big bucks.
Let's hope so, right?
Is the real estate market, is it still booming?
It is. I actually had the honor of being the real estate agent for my sister-in-law, and I've been showing her through some houses this weekend. And, man, it's crazy out there. There's so many buyers out there wanting to get those homes, so it's a fantastic time to sell your home.
And the great thing is you can go through Homie and save yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Like our guy over here saved nine grand?
Nine grand off the sale of just a condo.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And if you're getting ready to list your home and you sell it and then you turn around and go buy something, the savings can really help you get into a home of your dreams.
Well, that's what we need to talk about too. You know, if you are jumping into the real estate world right now and you're trying to buy or sell or even refinance, you go to Homie, and Homie can do it. It's comprehensive.
They
hit all areas, and everything that you use through Homie saves you more money through that basic usage, right?
Yeah, for sure. We've streamlined the whole process and put everything that you need under one roof. So it's really easy for you to buy, to sell, to refinance, to get your loan, for title, for insurance, for anything that you need for your home purchase. We've got you covered.
I love it.
Katie, are we starting to see some inventory pop up? Or is it still pretty dry?
It's still pretty low comparatively to previous years, but we're starting to see some more now that school's started and people are starting to get their feel for what life's going to be like now. I think more people are getting ready to find a bigger home. If you're going to be working from home right now and you didn't realize that you needed a home office, now's the time to go find that home office for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, all you have to do is go to homie.com, H-O-M-I-E.com. And get all the insight, all the information you need, whether you're buying, selling, whatever you need, that's the place to go to. We're going to talk to Katie all throughout the show today.
And if you use promo code HANCE, if you're going to sell your home, use promo code HANCE. It's going to take $500 off that $2,000 sales price. So $1,500, get your home listed. You get assigned an agent. You get the lockbox. You get the signs. You get all the placement on MLS. You get the pictures. It's the whole sales enchilada. They sold my home inside of an hour. You can't beat it. Homie.com. Remember promo code HANCE.
Wait a minute. A day or an hour?
Hour. I had 6 showings within like the first 10 or 15 minutes of listing. It is mind-blowing what you can do through Homie. Like, they put it everywhere. You don't. It's not just the MLS. Like, they posted it on Facebook, and they have all their own, you know, different social media to promote your home. So it makes it really quick. Katie, you guys are the best, man. And Eric is my hero.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that he helped you out. I'm glad you got your home sold.
The best. Talk about Eric all day today.
Well, I love Eric. Let me tell you about Eric and his flowing locks. He does have hair, right, Katie?
And Scott here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hey, remember this segment brought to you in part by Action Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Spring into action now. Mention this ad. Receive $33 off any service. Call Action at 801-833-3333 right here on The Zone Sports Network.
You guys saved me $9,000 on the sale of one of my $2.5 million homes.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
John Canzano is with us. With all the changeover in presidents and chancellors across the league over the last 10 years or so, where is Larry Scott's support coming from?
Yeah, he's lost a ton of support. When the presidents 10 years ago were told, hey, you're going to get $20 million a year in your media rights deal, they went, great, that's awesome. They weren't looking over at the SEC and going, wait a minute, they're getting $30 million? I think the New Guard presidents have a better understanding. I don't think Larry's got the support to get an extension. I think it's evident when they do those Zoom videos or conference calls. Back in the day, it was Larry up front by himself. Not anymore. They're putting doctors alongside of him, other ADs alongside of him. That tells me they don't have confidence in him, and I think they will make a change.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, 1034 on your Monday.
So, obviously, Utah Jazz out of this run, but I want to know, where does the NBA come in? When you were watching yesterday or Saturday, you had college football, you had NFL on Sunday, you had the U.S. Open, you had the NBA playoffs. Like, how much time did you spend with the NBA playoffs?
Let's see here. Well, it pretty much took most of my priority just because the Denver Lakers series.
Fascinating.
I don't know how long it's going to go, but all the games I think are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis hitting that three last night. It's awesome.
It was awesome.
I mean, they set it up for him too.
It was awesome.
You have your big man coming around a curl and cranking a three.
It was incredible.
So good.
And he hit it. And, you know, just to listen to Rajon Rondo talk about the lead up to that moment and seeing Jokic come out and defend the inbounds, and then Jokic needed to rotate, and the rotator that was coming around to defend Davis was late, and Davis found that look. And
Jokic still almost got there, though.
So I know people are a little bit surprised, and Rondo talked about how he actually went through three people before he went to Anthony Davis. And LeBron James was the third look.
Yeah.
There were two looks, then LeBron, and then Anthony. And I don't know if you heard him kind of walk through how that all went. He said that he looked all four guys in the eye as he was waiting to make that play. And then Anthony popped open and knocked it down. I love game winners like that. I love moments like that. And the fact that they're wearing the Mamba jerseys, the Mamba uniforms, to me is just the best. And I'm not a Lakers fan.
Yeah, it's hard to heap praise on the Lakers, but they're a fun watch for sure.
I'm not a Lakers fan. I've never been a Lakers fan. I just don't care. But this is going to be one of those rare years because I was a Kobe Bryant fan. I like what Kobe stood for. I liked most aspects of Kobe's, not just his game, but how he ran his business. And to watch Anthony Davis knock that shot down and then drop some of the remarks he dropped, he said, obviously, we're representing him out there, especially in these jerseys. It's his jersey. It's the one he created. And anytime we put it on, we want to win. They're 3-0 right now when wearing the Black Mamba uniform.
I'd wear it the rest of the playoffs.
I'd probably put that on and not take it off.
Yeah.
Because they do play with a nasty mentality when they've got that on. And did you see the halftime with Vogel? Did you see him in the locker room telling these guys, every one of you know what Kobe'd be doing right now?
Yep.
And he's right, man. Kobe'd be seizing it, clenching that jaw like he used to clench, throwing that attitude on the court. Not worried about handshakes and friendships. Not worried about the outside world. Just worried about beating you down. That's it. And that's what Anthony Davis did.
Overall, though, I mean, Denver did everything they could to try to give themselves an opportunity to win that game. And they had a great chance down low.
They should have won it.
They probably should have won this game. This is why I worry about them long term, because that's the game that you're going to look back and say we should have won. You look at Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray was plus 16 when he was on the court. And they end up losing by two.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray played 44 minutes in that game, which means he's off the court and the Nuggets are minus 18 in those essentially 4 minutes he's not on the court.
Mm-hmm.
That's a staggering number.
It is. Makes sense with Jamal, though, what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I would caution the Lakers, and I would say to them, you better not take your foot off the accelerator, because this Denver team has been down 1-3 twice already in the postseason. They thrive being the underdog. They thrive being pushed into a corner. I just don't know if they can do it, you know, a game seven a third time in a row. Obviously, doing it twice in a row was unprecedented. Never happened in NBA history in a seven-game series, ever. Back-to-back 1-3 situations, coming back and winning game sevens to advance, never happened. You could look at the likelihood of that and say, there's no chance it would happen. But in their mind, it can. In their mind, they're pretty confident that this game isn't over until all seven games or until finally somebody puts their foot down on the accelerator and that's it. So the Lakers better not look at this 2-0. They better not get too excited about the three that dropped for Davis in the game winner. They better not start believing that the Black Mamba uniforms are invincible. They better really focus, because Denver will catch you when you start to sleep a little.
That's what they've done the previous two series. I mean, geesh, they could go up 3-1, 3-0, and I'm still not counting out Denver. But this one feels different. I mean, it feels a little different than even the Jazz and the Clippers.
It does feel different, and I'll tell you the two differences in my opinion in watching that game. And by the way, my order, Scotty, I watched the PGA Tour, the U.S. Open live. I then went to the NFL, watched two games. I had two games recorded, including the Kansas City Chargers game, which was epic.
Yeah.
Got to watch the finish to that. It's one of the most incredible finishes you could ever imagine. And then I went back and watched this game. And the two things that stood out to me, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, and the reason I think that the Lakers do take down Denver. One, Dwight Howard has a strange belief in his ability to defend against Jokic. And was running all over the court, causing problems, and is a major pain in the butt. Number two, Anthony Davis right now is playing up to the standard, if not just slightly above the standard, that you could ever set for Anthony Davis as a scorer. You know he's a versatile defender, but he's averaging 34 points on 52.3% shooting from the floor. He's averaging 43% from three, and he's averaging 87% from the line right now in this series. You take those two things into account. A big man that can cause Jokic problems and Anthony Davis scoring ability, and I think that they probably end it in four, maybe five.
I'll say five.
You think five. Denver's going to sneak out again?
I think Denver will get one game, yeah. By the way, this is ridiculous. We're talking about Denver like this. I mean, these guys just don't die, but still – It's different. This one's different.
They really are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, just watching them continue to come back and do what they do is just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But I think that those are two weapons that those are two weapons you just can't deny.
Yeah.
You know, when I can bring a fresh Dwight Howard off the bench and roll him in to create problems and have a versatile defender like Anthony Davis, that's what you have to have against Jokic, I think.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And that's why I think that you're seeing Jokic deal with, you know, and like Jokic end up with 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 rebounds, or 9 assists and 6 rebounds. He almost got a triple-double. He scores 30 points. But I think that you're getting somebody thrown at him that's going to challenge him more on the defensive side than anybody he's faced.
Okay, so I'm gonna put myself at risk for mockery right now, but bear with me here. When I watch what the Lakers can roll out, bringing Howard off the bench, and McGee's going to do what he does, but Davis can rotate and do what he does.
But McGee, you know, you're right. McGee's, I mean, he plays 12 minutes, and he's a problem for 12 minutes.
He is. He's a arm-flailing, hustling issue. If the Jazz had Derek Favors in that series, I think that the Jazz should have beat Denver anyways.
Yeah.
But and it was more Jamal Murray than it was Jokic through that series. But when it comes down to it, I think if the Jazz had a defender and a bench presence, a guy that was coming off the bench and doing crazy things for the Jazz in Favors, I think that's a no-brainer. That's what you needed against Jokic.
I'd agree with that.
Was it Jokic in Game 7? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Against the Jazz?
Yeah.
So if you had Derek Favors in that Game 7, it's just different.
10:43, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend, and so you may have missed some of it. So what you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joining us now, former BYU receiver Dylan Colley.
The quarterbacks that I've been around are John Beck, Max Hall, some of the greatest of all time at BYU. I grew up around them. I watched them. And then to be able to see Zach Wilson and the way that he prepares, his attitude, the work ethic, the ability and want to get better every single day, and then you match that with his actual physical ability, there's not a whole lot standing in his way to be that for BYU. And I do think that he will end up being one of the greatest of all time at BYU, if not the greatest quarterback.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back, Hans and Scotty. What you may have missed on a beautiful Monday morning. Man, it's gorgeous out there, isn't it, Lloyd? Hey, you had some boat time this weekend, huh?
Yeah, we went out on Flaming Gorge, and it was... By the way, I've never been on Flaming Gorge. That was my first time ever, and that is might be my favorite lake.
Where'd you guys put in?
What's that? Say that again.
What part of the lake did you put in at?
Lynn... I think what it's called. Can't remember what it's called. Okay. It's just where that main marina is by Manila.
Okay. So you weren't that close to the dam then?
No. No, okay. No. I guess that's pretty much the opposite side of the dam.
Yeah.
For the most part.
It would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Up, over on that opposite side.
Did you guys do okay?
Yeah, we did okay. It's from what I understand, it's actually been a little bit slow up there, I guess, this year. But we pulled like 7. In two times going out, so it was a little slow, but
it's a beautiful
Xavier
time
got that
year,
big one though. He got a big one. I tweeted out a picture, and that thing was big.
That tug on the line a little bit.
Yeah, that tug it on the line.
A couple
we did
of lake trout
use those downriggers.
What did you measure it?
Didn't measure it, but it weighed at 20 pounds.
It was a 20-pounder?
Yeah, it was a 20-pounder.
Those lake trout will get big on you, man.
And that, I'm telling you, I tried to let him reel it, and he wasn't budging that thing. He couldn't quite get it because he wanted to reel it. I'm like, that's not working.
Did it set on his pole?
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh. How much of the U.S. Open did you watch over the weekend, Lloyd?
A little bit, here and there.
I
caught a lot of the highlights, mainly.
I think I spent a total of probably 5 hours between Saturday and Sunday. Almost watched the full round on Saturday. Kind of sped through on Sunday because you could see that Bryson DeChambeau was continuing to kind of run away with it. Would you like a major pain in the butt update?
Do we need to wait for should we wait for a sec?
Oh, is he? No, I think we can roll through it.
We can go over
it. Yeah, we'll go through it.
I'm sure you'll probably go over it 10 more times anyways.
Coming in third place was one Scott Gerrard. Morikawa killed him.
Yeah,
because
he wasn't very good.
Morikawa, so the way we run the major pain in the butt, Lloyd, Scotty, and myself, we each pick three golfers, and their collective score represents the winner, essentially. If a golfer doesn't make the cut, they take the high score of the worst of the golfers. Somebody ended up shooting a plus 25 that made the cut, Lloyd.
I'll tell you, the course got difficult over the weekend.
It got hideous.
It got difficult.
So Scotty takes Morikawa and gets a plus 25 because Morikawa is actually the only one of the nine players that we selected that did not make the cut. He had John Rahm give him a plus 10. Rory McIlroy had some moments.
I'm telling you, people, if you got a guy that didn't make the cut, that you might be fortunate.
Yeah.
If he was right at the cut line and didn't make it. Because that's, isn't that what we do? It's essentially where the cut line is for their score?
No, we take the worst golfer.
The very worst? Well, see, but still, it's not going to be as bad as these other scores are. How bad was the worst?
The worst golfer of the golfers that make the cut.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you...
All right, I misunderstood.
And it was a plus 25.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's
so,
bad.
You know, that's how we run it. So the worst golfer of the golfers that make the cut, and it was a plus 25. And McIlroy had his moments. He ended up plus 6. So Scotty ended up plus 41. The individual coming in second place took Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, and Webb Simpson.
I think it was right around 16 over is what they finished.
It was 16 over between the three of them. Thomas at 6 over, Schauffele at 4, and Simpson at 6. All of them felt like they were right there in contention.
And they were. And surprisingly, I mean, because you had a couple guys that struggled.
I did. Berger struggled. Went to plus 13. Dustin Johnson had his moments of struggle, but then came back with a couple of big birdies.
And he's probably the guy that saved you completely.
And got to plus 5. Yeah. But the guy that won it for me, obviously, yeah. I picked the winner, Beef DeChambeau. I picked I wanted the all beef connection between Beef and Burger. So
are you gonna stick with this as long as you can?
Yeah, I will.
You gonna try to go with the beef? Well, somebody allows you to do that.
Yeah, I like the beef connection.
But I'm sure you'll get that because I don't think anybody's gonna take Burger.
But I'm not gonna go the all beef connection with Lowry, Beefs, and Burger.
Oh, come on. Go all beefs.
I need to keep Dustin Johnson as long as I can.
How about Bryson DeChambeau finishing 6 under? Six under. The guy won by six strokes because Matt Wolf finished even.
Well, the back nine, I was actually just fast-forwarding and only watching Wolf and DeChambeau. And DeChambeau made the back nine extremely boring.
When people were shooting in the 70s for the most part, in fact, that was probably the lowest rep outside of his was a 71. Everybody was in the 70s. Everybody.
He was at least. He was never in the fairway off the box. Very rarely in the fairway off the box. He was coming out of the rough all final round long, but he was finding the greens, he was hitting the lags, and he was dropping the pars. And then he had one eagle putt. I think it was on 9. It was either 8 or 9. Maybe it was 8. He had an eagle putt. It was probably, maybe a 25-footer that had some bend. And DeChambeau drops that. But I end up winning the major pain in the butt at plus 9.
I'm not a big DeChambeau fan. Like, there's just his game just looks weird.
Yeah, but
it's weird looking.
But do you like the calculations though?
Yes.
See, I feel like this is going to be somewhat revolutionary.
He might be. He's somebody that can maybe dominate for a while.
I don't know how long.
Good.
It puts a lot of torque on his body.
God, I know.
I think he's going to beat up his body pretty quick.
Probably.
But I have to believe that golfers out there are looking at his calculations. Did you see Phil Mickelson tweet out and say that the golfer he learns the most from is Bryson DeChambeau?
Which is crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
But, you know, Bryson, his entire philosophy is, I'm going to get as far as I can off the box. As far as I can. And then I'm going to use some basic, you know, nines, pitching wedges. If I've got to get up in the eights, I'll use it. But I'm going to come out of the rough. I'm going to gauge my distance. But I'm going to take the yardage off the box. You know, he's got a six-stroke lead, Lloyd, and he's pulling that driver and continuing to bang it 330, 340, and finish out in the rough and is just saying, screw it. I'll bang it 340. I'll get in the rough. I'll take my pitching wedge. I'm going to find the green with it. And then you had other golfers that were trying to keep themselves in play because the thing they always tell you in the open, whatever you do, don't get in the rough. He didn't even care.
Stay in play. You're going to have probably a longer approach shot, but just make sure you're in the fairway. That's what they say.
So Bryson DeChambeau beefs comes in at 6 under, gives me the win, and that puts me in the lead. I've got 6 points overall. Lloyd, you got 3.
Our guy Tony Finau had a top 10 finish.
Scotty's got 1. Yeah, Tony had some really good moments.
Yeah, he did. Finished 6 over. It's crazy to think he lost by 12 shots.
Tony had some good moments. I hope to see Tony put on a little more weight and start to bang a little bit. And I know Tony can be long, but I'd like to see him get real long because I think Tony could probably catch up with Bryson and follow some of the same calculations that Bryson's following. All right, we've got Katie from Homie hanging out with us. Katie, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, how do you assign a realtor to somebody? How did you guys decide to sign Eric to me? How do you go about that?
It's actually just an algorithm kind of built into our software. So depending on your location, we assign agents that are kind of over that zip code or over that area. So they're local, they're familiar with the area, they know the area, and they're able to help you out.
So I think people are a little bit confused with Homie thinking, oh, it's just a sell online. It's not a sell online. You guys actually get a realtor to fit with an individual and they take you through the whole process.
Exactly. That's one huge misconception about Homie, that we do have realtors. We do have experienced agents. Some of our agents are doing more deals in a month than agents, on the other hand, are doing in a year. So our agents are doing this all the time. They're experienced. They're very knowledgeable. They're able to walk you through the whole process. They know what's going on in the market. They know what's going on in the area. They're able to help get you the most for your money or the most equity out of your home.
And it obviously save you incredible amounts of money. I've talked about this quite a bit. Saved me $9,000. I sold one of the investment condos that I had bought years ago. And it sold inside of an hour, had 6 showings within the first 10, 15 minutes. And I paid $1,500.
Yeah.
$1,500 to sell.
And you had a full service experience with Eric. And that's what's so amazing is that you don't only just get a platform that's really easy to use and really simple to kind of see what's going on, you know, what offers you're getting, how many people are coming to your home, but you also have an agent that's there to walk you through those offers and help answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, they really are the best. You know, from scheduling those walkthroughs and getting the lockbox out, and getting the signs out, and really just to really push and market your home.
Yeah, most homes on our website or most Homie listings get over 8,000 more views than the average listing. And that's just because our marketing team has made it so easy for us to boost your home on social media, to get it pushed up with a direct API to all of those like realtor websites, realtor.com or Zillow or KSL. So anything like that, we're boosting all of those listings and getting them showings for you.
Go to homie.com. You use promo code HANTS there at homie.com. You're going to get $500 off the price of the sale of the home. So instead of $2,000, it's going to be $1,500 to sell your home. Katie, next time, we got to spend a lot of time on the buying side.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk about the buying side, and I want to talk about percentages and how we can save on the buying side. Because right now it's $1,500 to sell your home.
Yep.
Homie.com, use promo code HANTS, and stay tuned. Katie will tell us more about the buying side coming up here in just a few minutes. And I got to remind you, Gordy Chiesa joins us next here on 97.5, 12 into the Zone.